Okay.
A very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is a very auspicious day. Now it's 2:55. Today is the 9th of September, 2018. Sunday, we are at Wuping, Jingshi. So today also will mark a very special day for us because we just concluded our Six Patriarch Platform Sutta sharing. It has occurred over the last 3 years, 3 months. You look at the dates. It started in 14 June 2015. So now we are coming towards September 2018. So it's exactly 3 years, 3 months. And over the 3 years, we completed a total of 84 lessons. So today is our final lesson, lesson 85. And we will be doing a special puja. This special puja will allow us to develop the virtuous mind, the wholesome mind, to thank all the Dhamma protectors, the great beings, the triple gem, for allowing us such beautiful and great conditions to successfully conclude the Six Patriarch Sutta, which has been very, very beautiful and meaningful. If you were to go through the audio files and quite a number of the transcripts that we have already done up, these transcript books are very useful. The Dhamma there is very unique. Then we will also go through the discussion to discuss on what we have covered and what we have learned over the course of this 84 lesson. Plus today is the 85th lesson. So now it's almost 3 years. Okay, another 2 more minutes. So just now I have requested Miss Lee to light the incense. She has already done. Then also 4 more Kayanamita to light the candles and the other incense. It's all lighted, isn't it? The incense here not lighted yet. Who is supposed to light? Huh? Lighter. Here no smoke come out. No, here no smoke. You might as well light this one. Because it's already there. You must have liked it. So after all are littered, then we will start the puja. You all can stand. You all can stand. And we will make the puja offering. We shall rejoice. Form a line. Okay, Miss D, you start with the tray. Sadhu, 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 Sadhu.
Never mind. Pass on.
Sadhu, 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 Sadhu.
Okay, thank you. You all can be seated. Then we should rejoice with the wholesomeness of the offering. Because we should thank Padmasri Brother Tiong for arranging all this for us together with Miss Lee yesterday. Then the Kayanamita Fund will make use of so that all Kayanamita can partake in this puja offering. So we rejoice.
Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu.
So all the flower arrangement, the offering of fruits, and the incense, and all this are all done by Kayanamita Fund. Okay, let us now compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, and mindfully we shall commence the puja.
Today's puja is slightly different in the sense that we are doing it to express our gratitude towards the Triple Gem, towards all the Dhamma protectors, the great beings who has in one way or another helped us to make this three over years of sharing of the six Pathya platform sutta a very, very successful one. Then we would like to also thank all Kayamita who participated and arise all the causes and conditions for it to be the way it is.
Okay. Now we will commence the puja of gratitude.
Namo Bhansi Sijya Moni Pho. Namo Quan Si Pusa, Namo Quan Si Pusa, Namo Quan Si Pusa.
Then we also recite the salutation of Hui Ning.
Namo Liu Chu Hui Ning, Namo Liu Chu Hui Ning, Namo Liu Chu Hui Ning, Namo Pho Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang adivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami.
Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghaṃ namāmi. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānātipātā vairāmane sikkhāpadaṃ samādiyāmi. Ādinādānā vairāmane sikkhāpadaṃ samādiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācārā vairāmane sikkhāpadaṃ samādiyāmi. Mosāvādā vairāmane sikkhāpadaṃ samādiyāmi. Sūrāmeraya macchāpamādattānā vairāmane sikkhāpadaṃ samādiyāmi. Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Let us pay respect to Triple Jhana. Buddhaṃ pujami. Dhammaṃ pujami. Sanghaṃ pujami. Okay, you can be seated. Last but not least, we shouldn't forget about Wu Ping Jing Se. We should thank Sister Lee, Miss Lee, and the Wu Ping Jing Se committee or whoever who is in charge, including Miss Lee's teacher's nature, for allowing us to use this beautiful way place for all our sharing all these years. We started in 2006, Miss Lee. Yeah? Oh, after 2008, almost 10 years already, we were here very fast. Hatsuta, yes. That one, 15 months. Oh, 2012, yeah. So coming to 6 years. 6 years, yeah. So it's quite fast. Then the other thing is, next month is our gathering of Kainamita, the 19th of October 2018. You can contact Brother Sui An if you want to join or come. Because this year will be our 14th year. I came out in the year 2004 at the invitation of Yun Chan. 05, 06, 07, 08, 09,
10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, yeah. It's our 14th anniversary of the gathering of Kayamita. This one marks the 14th year my nature came out to share the Buddha Dhamma. So this is also how long the Kayamita has been established. So we are part of the Kayamita grouping. And this grouping is an informal grouping. We don't have any proper registration because we don't have, we don't need to have it because it can bring about other type of unnecessary problems. So it's easier for us to exist as Kayamita. This is a profound, very profound way to walk the path of Dhamma. The Buddha in one of the sutta actually spoke on this Kayamita shape, the importance of having Kayamita if you want to become enlightened. One of the key prerequisites or requirement for enlightenment is to have good Kayamita. And of all the Kayamita, the Buddha or the Tathagata is the best. There is no other cultivator or being that can be of equal to him unless they are also Samasambuddhas. Kayamitas are Dhamma friends who walk the path of Dhamma. And because they walk the path of Dhamma, they will have the Dhamma. They will be very sincere. And these are people who will develop good affinity with the Triple Gem because of their understanding, their sincerity, their faith and all those things. Then when you do this, if you have the appropriate understanding and sincerity, you will encounter the noble ones, the enlightened ones, the noble disciples of the Buddha. And this is another type of Kayamita, Dhamma friends who has the Dhamma. And these are beautiful beings, especially the Bodhisattvas. Their nature are different. Their understanding are different. So this is how Dhamma can be understood, developed, and cultivated. Okay, this is the first part, expression of gratitude. That's why we have our puja of gratitude towards the Triple Gem, towards all the great beings, including Dhamma protectors, fellow Kayamitas, and people who have allowed us to use this way place. So if you look at the short program that Sister Padmasuri has sent out, it is very meaningful and very beautiful. So even though it took us 3 years, 3 months, to complete about 84 lessons, plus today is 85 lessons. And we have it almost every week. So technically, if it's 3 years, it's supposed to be 100 over lessons. But in between, because we have our class either canceled or because of certain reasons, we cannot have the class proper. So nevertheless, it has covered almost 85 lessons, including today. The Heart Sutta was 15 months. But this six page Sutta, because there are a lot of very unique teaching, that's why we take longer time. But the teachings are very unique and very beautiful. And it allows cultivator to really develop the true understanding. And this one is a very fast way. When you understand Kui Ning's teaching, the Six Patriarch Platform Sutra's teaching, you progress very fast. And your cultivation become very different because of his uniqueness. He is a very special being. And also, that was the reason why a lot of Mahayana masters or teachers, they knew. So far, there is no layperson sutta that is of equal to the Buddha. And this one happened to be one of them. Although it's mainly, the teaching mainly arise after Hui Ning came out to teach and share the teaching. And it is all focused on Hui Ning. And Hui Ning is instrumental for this sutta. And yet this sutta are given the equal prominence as any of the Samasambuddha Sutta or Sakyamuni and the other great beings. So this is a very unique sutta. That's why the status is all different. Okay, now we turn to the short program. I will read to you. 2:45 arrival of Kayanamita, so 3 o'clock puja of gratitude, which we have covered. Then we are supposed to go to the summary of the Six Patriarch Sutta. And this summary, I will help you to formulate it. Then if you got any question, I can answer them so that you will have a very beautiful session. We will not have meditation today. Then after that, Paramasuri gave a very beautiful parting statement. May all sentient beings walk the path of Dhamma heedfully and peacefully. Then we can also add, may this wholesomeness pave the way for Dhamma to flourish again on our planet, so that this beautiful teaching can really shine forth and benefit cultivators and living beings. Okay, that's basically all of it. Then the Sunday gratitude puja, Paramasuri also wrote something. He said this puja of gratitude is to allow us to express our gratitude towards the Triple Gem, the Dhamma Protector, in conjunction with the completion of Brother Teo's complete teaching of the Six Patriarch Dhamma Jewel Platform Sutta over the course of 3 over years. Then we should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we can start the final summary discussion. So over these 3 over years, for those who have attended quite regularly, can you summarize for us what we have covered? If you can do it, it will also show your understanding. If you cannot remember or what, you turn to the book. What did you cover in the initial stage? This sutta starts with what? You saw all the photos there. The patriarch. So it starts with who? The first patriarch to China. He was the 28th patriarch from India. And he became the first patriarch of China. Then, the opening statement, for starting puja. So we better read it one more time so that you all will not miss it. One is the opening statement. The message is very powerful, very important. Okay, we read together. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. So this sutta is very rare, very unique. And like what we covered last week, you are born in this era where the sasana is there, where this six-day platform teaching is there, the sudden teaching. You are very blessed because you will have the potential to realize yourself nature or true nature, thereby leading to the enlightenment and awakening. So these are all stated in the sutta. And last week we covered a very good topic. That's why there are certain nature's phenomena happening before I even come. The sign was so obvious. All over. Until I reach here, then when I arrive, suddenly the thunderstorm and the heavy shower and rain abruptly just stopped. Then when we came in, not long after a few more kayamita came, the thunderstorm started again. And it was very, very heavy, the downpour and the rain. Then the strange thing is when we were about to start the puja, the moment we kneeled down, before we even chant the salutation, there was one very loud thunder, just struck. Then I had to wait for it to happen. Then only I started the salutation. Then as we continue with the sharing, I also hinted to you all, I don't know what that topic was, but I sense, my nature sense that it will be something important. And it turned out to be really important. Yeah, that was his final advice, final reminder of how you should cultivate. And they are all beautifully shared. You go and listen to the audio file. Then who was it that prepared the short notes? Oh, Queenie. Is Queenie around? No, around. Oh, never mind. It's okay. So anyway, she tried. But she missed out quite a lot of things, but not bad. At least she tried. So I have to clean it up. So I have just finished off the thing. I think I sent out last night. Oh, you already put in the WhatsApp. Oh, yeah, I saw just now. Then the other one is the Thursday class. Last Thursday class, which my daughter did the outline short note. I also completed. So you go back and read. They are all there. Very beautiful. Okay. Then coming back to this sutta, you know it started with Bodhidhamma. So what was in the sutta about Bodhidhamma? What was in the sutta? Oh, you have to go through the notes again. It means you don't really understand the sutta. You see, Bodhidhamma had condition to come over to transmit the Mahayana teaching. And that was because his teacher, the patriarch before him, told him and predicted to him that before he came over, the prediction was already there. Then later on, when the condition arises, he really come over. And it really happened the way the prediction come about. And according to the prediction, he said, Mahayana will take root after the six patriarchs. Means 200 years later. After the six patriarchs, no need to transmit the rope and the insignia bowl anymore as a sign of transmission. Just by then, the six patriarchs teaching. That's why we did the six patriarchs, Platform Sutta teaching. His teaching is called the Platform Sutta because after he received the transmission from the fifth patriarch, you remember? The advice given to him was, lie low, don't arise so fast because you need to wait for causes and conditions. And he asked him to leave the temple. And Huineng accordingly left the temple. But because of the condition then, the fifth patriarch knew there will be a lot of sensuous people who will not agree to the transmission. And they will try to get hold of Huineng and take back the transmitted rope and insignia bowl. And because of that, Huineng has to go into hiding, lie low for many years. So finally he ended up with the hunters. For 15 years. Then when condition is right, he helped the hunters. Then he left the hunters. Where the hunter finally were attacked by another group, very violent group. But he was there to help them out. And after he helped them, they realized who he is. Yeah, nobody knew who he is. They thought he was just an ordinary person who happened to bump into the hunters. And the hunter didn't harm him or kill him. It's because he volunteered to cook for them. So he helped out in the kitchen to prepare their food. And the person who manned the kitchen, that person was very kind. He liked Huineng. So Huineng managed to go into hiding there for 15 years. And during that period, he ate just the veg beside the meat, European time. And he go about with his normal cultivation. And during this period, because he already received the transmission from the fifth patriarch, he developed a lot of understanding through interacting with nature and the hunters. And when he has the condition and come out, he hated for that place that the fifth patriarch advised him to go. I think that temple was Nan Hua Su. So it was there that the flag and the wind, the phenomena happened. Then there were two Samanera Mamas, you remember? Arguing over what happened. One of them said the flag moved. The other one said no, the wind moved. Without wind, the flag cannot move. So while they were arguing, Huineng spoke. He said, neither the wind nor the flag move. It's your mind that move. Everybody was stunned, including the abbot who was there delivering the Dhamma session. So he was so impressed by the answer that he called out to that person. He said, may I invite you to the platform? That's how the Platform Sutta come up. They got a platform. So he went up the platform the stage. then this abbot also has very good understanding. He suspects that this person is not an ordinary lay person. If he can answer that way, means he really has the Dhamma, he has something. We call it not simple, Pu Jian Ban. So he asked him to explain why did he answer that way, the Maimo. And the way he explained was very good, very good. So he used simple consciousness. He said the one that say the flag move is because the seeing consciousness perceive the flag. And to him, that flag is real. That's why he say the flag move. But to the other monk, he perceive it through the hearing, the sensation, the hearing consciousness. He can sense the wind and the sound. That's why he said, the wind move. But both are not correct. That's why he said, neither is the flag nor the wind. Why? Without mind, what happened? Without mind, what happened? If you got no mind to say anything, what happened? Nothing, isn't it? It's because of the mind. The first one that uses the seeing consciousness is the flag move. It's also because of the mind. The second one, perceive it through the hearing consciousness or sensation, say the wind move. So what actually move? It's neither the wind nor the flag, isn't it? It's the mind of this individual Samanirama, isn't it? If their mind doesn't create, nothing arrives. That's why the Buddha say mind is a forerunner of all things. Mind is cheap. So when he explained it this way, the abbot knew. He said, beautiful, beautiful. He said, that's why he straight away inquired and asked Huineng, you must be the one that received the transmission of the rope and the insignia bow from the fifth patriarch, because it was told he went south. Then Huineng admitted that he was the one. So he opened up the wrapping that shows the bowl and the rope to the abbot and the people. And everybody was full of joy. Then the abbot said, this is the one. This is the one. He is the fifth patriarch's transmitted disciple, Chuan Lan. He is the official sixth patriarch. So they all really were full of joy, and everybody pay respect. That's how they invited him out to share the Dhamma with them. Then because he was still a lay person, they decided to ordain him there. They call it Luo Fa, means he went through the shaving ceremony, ordination. And that was how Huineng started teaching. And he received the transmission at the age of 24. Then for 15 years, he went into hiding. So when he came out, he was already 39. And he finally passed away at the age of 76. So 39 minus 76 is 27 years. He taught for 27 years. 37, not 27. Oh, 37, sorry, you are right. Yeah, 37, thank you. Yeah, 76 minus 39. Correct, 37 years, which is quite long, pretty long. And because of that, his teaching became so famous, and it started to take off and flourish. But before the sixth patriarch, there was also the story of the second patriarch, the third patriarch, the fourth patriarch, and the fifth patriarch. But they were not so famous and not so prominent. But they do have their place. Especially the second patriarch, Hui Ke. How he was so determined to meet up with the Bodhidharma of first patriarch to receive the transmission and the teaching. Then how he chopped off his hand to arise the condition. They were also beautiful. Then also, in between, you remember when Bodhidharma came? He came alone. He got no following. He got no dignitaries, like normal ambassador for another country. Normally, if you are somebody, you have a lot of following. He came nothing. He didn't even wear shoe. He just brought along some sutta. So when the monks at that time, on the instruction of the emperor to receive him, they saw him come alone and without anything, they were so like suspicious of him. They didn't really respect him. So to understand that, you have to read the latest transcript. Just now, I think Chui took it out. 75 lessons. Those who haven't had, you can collect a copy there. So this one talks about what happened and how he finally, through his understanding, the Bodhidharma, encounter with the emperor, you remember? The emperor, after he has followed the advice of what they call those so-called Buddhist monks at that time, before the advent of Bodhidharma. So he did a lot of wholesomeness or meritorious action. He built temple. He donated to the Sangha, and he provided for their food and all those things. So he supported the Sangha, and also tried to establish the Buddhist teaching. So he thought he has done a lot of good things. He must have received a lot of merits. So when finally he received the first patriarch, Bodhidharma, he asked Bodhidharma, how much merits have I developed through all this activity that I did? But because this emperor doesn't understand the profound Dhamma, and he happened to ask Bodhidharma, who is an enlightened being. So to enlightened being, normal merits are not pure merits. You remember what is pure merit? Pure merit means what? What is pure merit? Merits that are developed through wisdom, through understanding, free of the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So the first thing that the emperor don't understand is he thinks he did the merit. He must have received a lot of merit. So the mark of a cell is there. Understand? And his action is based on what? Based on the? Based on what? Why did he do all those things? Because he believed? He believes it's very meritorious, isn't it? So it's based on the greed for that merit, isn't it? So the evil root of greed is there. The evil root of delusion is there because the atta is still there. The mark of the self. So all this, he can't understand. So Bodhidharma replied him. He said, zero. You don't have. Wow, he was very unhappy, and yet he dare not argue. So, So he kept quiet. Then after that, he got a very negative perception of Bodhidharma. He thought, this one is not a real monk. How can he answer me like that? Then he let Bodhidharma go and do what he liked. That's why Bodhidharma realized no condition. Nobody understand him. That's why he decided to travel out to the north somewhere, I think, near this temple, Shaolin Si. Then he sat facing the wall for 9 years. That's how the story started. Then later on, the emperor came to know that he was wrong. That actually Bodhidharma was very wise. And what he told him was what an enlightened being would have told him. Then by then, he wanted to get his people to get Bodhidharma back to see him. There was no condition. So all this were the story behind the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. And they were very, very beautiful. Of course, in between, you may recall, or you listen to the audio file, there are a lot of very beautiful teaching, and also on the conditions at that time. Then the way Hui Ning came to the world, the way he was born, also very strange, very unique. He was born into a very poor family in a very remote place, mountainous and remote place. And he was an illiterate. He didn't even go to school. He was a woodcutter. But he was born without the mundane mind, and people don't understand. And even he himself also didn't know until later, when he met the Fifth Patriarch. When he heard the Diamond Sutta, the mind must have no dwelling from the merchant. Then everything fall into place, and that was the condition for him to travel all the way to meet up with the Fifth Patriarch. Yeah, this merchant sponsored his trip and promised him to take care of his mother. Because he said, for you to understand as an illiterate such profound teaching, you are very, very special, very unique. You must have your past great affinity with the Triple Gem and the Buddha Dhamma. That's how all this thing happened. Then the teaching continued. After he came out to share, there were a lot of people that came to see him, to receive the teaching from him. And among them, many of them are sincere disciples. And the most important aspect of the whole sutta are the two poems. You remember the two poems when he was at the Fifth Patriarch's place? The first poem was written by who? Sun Siu, the chief disciple of the Fifth Patriarch. Then there were conditions for Hui Ning to hear about it. Then he said, I would like to see where the sutta is. Then he asked that official who was there to read out the poem to him. So after he read the poem, he told the official, he said, I also have a poem to write. So they were all like very surprised. How can a literary working in the kitchen, never attend meditation session, and once suddenly say he got a poem to write? And this poem is the contest to receive the patriarchship. Understand? As proposed by the Fifth Patriarch. The Fifth Patriarch is very wise, and he is a good monk, a very beautiful monk. Hongren, I think his name is Hongren. So when the official said that, he said, you also have a poem to write. He said, but you are illiterate, and you don't even know how to read. You asked me to read for you the first poem. Then this Hui Ning told him, he said, if you are a true seeker of the Dhamma, you must not slight any cultivator, because the most low can have the most profound understanding. And the high, not necessary, have the understanding. So do not slight a cultivator. So straight away the official said, okay, he said, that's good, is it? I will write it for you, is it? But don't forget to take me across if you become the one who is chosen, is it? And he wrote it for Huiyang, wrote that poem for Huineng. And when Huineng recites his poem, it counters Shen Xiu's poem completely. Immediately after he finished the poem, everybody was stunned. He said, you can never underestimate a person. He may be an illiterate. He may be working in the kitchen, and you seldom see him coming out to the main hall to listen to sutta, chant, or meditate. And yet, he can come out with such profound poem to counter Shen Xiu's first poem. That's why his poem was very unique. And the way he countered was perfect match. Because Shen Xiu say, this body is like a bohi tree. You know what is a bohi tree, right? Bohi means what? What is bohi? Putiya. What is bohi? Not only beyond mind. Puti means enlightenment, understand? Puti sing. The thought of enlightenment. That's why Bohi is enlightenment. So the word Bohisatta comes from the word Bohi, understand? Satta is a being. Bodhisatta is an enlightened being that walk the path of Dhamma to become Sama Sambuddha. That's why a lot of people don't understand. They say Bodhisatta are not enlightened yet. They only aspire to become Sama Sambuddha. They walk that path. They don't understand. If you are not enlightened technically, you cannot take the vow. You cannot become a true Bodhisatta. Because the word Bodhi stands for enlightenment. Satta is a being. So Bodhisatta is a cultivator or a being with the enlightenment. An enlightened being walking the path of Dhamma to be perfect itself, to become a Samasambuddha. So to Shen Xiu, he was not wrong. Because he was at the Theravada level, sainthood level type of training. His cultivation is mainly thought-based. So because of that, he said, our body is like a bohi tree. Means a tree, like the bohi tree, Puti Su, the one that the Buddha sat underneath. Why they call it a bohi tree, tree of enlightenment? Because he got enlightened while sitting underneath there. That's how he enlightened to the way and become the Samasambuddha underneath the bohi tree. So that tree become the bohi tree, tree of enlightenment. So in a similar way, Shen Xiu knew our human body is like a bohi tree. Why did he say that? Why is your body like a bohi tree? Means it can give rise to enlightenment. True or not? But how did he come to that understanding? Our body is like bohi tree. And he's not wrong. Because at the Theravada level, this is good. This is profound. Body is like a bohi tree. Within this phantom-like body, what did the Buddha say? Along with? Did you all listen to the sutta? Within this phantom-like body that every living being has, along with perception, thought, and mindfulness, what did he proclaim? This one is in the teaching. If I'm not wrong, it's in the Dhammapada. Within this phantom-like body, along with perception, thought, and mindfulness, he said, the living being can proclaim the world, the cause of the arising of the world, the cessation of the world, and the path that lead to the cessation. Means what? What is that? The world, the cause of the arising of the world, the cessation of the world, and the path that leads to it. What is that? That is your Four Noble Truths, understand or not? The world is life itself, you are living in the world of suffering. You call it the suffering world. Understand? You have a Buddhist hymn for it, BGM. Oh, suffering world. So all this thing is there. So along, within this phantom-like body, along with perception, thought, and mindfulness, means with your mundane mind and your true mind, you can realize the Four Noble Truths. You can proclaim the world, the arising of the world, the cause of its arising, the cessation, and the path that leads to it. So, since you knew that this physical body is important, and how can it do that based on the Buddha's teaching? What did the Buddha teach you? He said, the only way to realize enlightenment, what is the sutta? Ekayano bhikkhave bhikkhu. Oh bhikkhu, this is the only way for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for the realizing of nibbana, realization of nibbana, to reach the right path. And what is that teaching? What happened? That's why you are there. How to cultivate? You cannot cultivate. This is the famous Satipatthana Sutta, the four foundations of mindfulness that you all went through. Before this six patriarch was the four foundations of mindfulness. And the final summary is in the book. And all this, if you don't really understand, not easy. That's why you find it difficult to understand and penetrate the teaching. So within this phantom-like body, what does it have? The four foundation is what? The first foundation is what? Ha. Kaya, then? Four foundation of sati. I put sati or mindfulness. First foundation is kaya. Okay? Kaya is your physical body. Understand now? Or whatever that is related to the form. So this one, your physical body, go on. Then second foundation is what? So within your form and mind, within the physical body, with your consciousness, you have feeling or not? That's why you have feeling. Then you also have the third one, citta, which is consciousness. And its content, mind. That's why content of consciousness. The last one is what? Dhamma nupassana. Dhamma is what? True. Your body also part of nature. So nature's truth is everywhere. Understand now? The form and mind. That's why within this phantom-like body, you can use these four things which is there to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness and become enlightened. That's why he says, our body is like a bodhi tree. Our body is like a bodhi tree. So this sentence is correct at the Theravada level, and it's very profound. That's why the fifth page says, good, use this poem to cultivate, and you will not go down to? Go down to what? The woeful state, anasana, the four apaya state. You will not go down. Because at least you will become a saint, sotapanna. Then where did he go wrong? Huineng. Sorry, Shen Xiu. The second phrase is what? You somehow got to read the book. So this is where he go wrong. Understand now? The second stanza he say, the mind is like a mirror bright on a stand. What is this mind? This is the mundane mind. That's where he go wrong. And he used this mundane mind to meditate. You understand? Then the third stanza is what? Polish until it shine so that no dust can alight. See, these are all red color one or wrong one. Polish until it shines so that no dust can alight. So this part he went wrong. So he has to polish until it shines so that no dust can alight. So this one is the fourth stanza. No dust can alight. So this one is the fourth stanza. So how did Huineng counter his prayer? The first prayer, what did he say? Pu-ti-peng. What is the meaning? Bohi, which is enlightenment, is what? It's not a tree, isn't it? You understand? How can wisdom, which is Bohi, become a tree? But just now I told you, at the Theravada level, Shen Xiu is correct. Then why did Huineng say it's wrong? Why did he say that? To Huineng, he already awakened, understand? He already gone beyond mind, beyond thought. So what is wisdom to him? What is Bohi? Bohi is an understanding, understand? A realization, an awakening. That's why it's not a tree. Then he point out to Shen Xiu that your second stanza is the biggest mistake. He said the mind is neither the mirror bright nor the stand. This is the mundane mind. Understand? On the stand means it dwells somewhere, supported. Mirror bright, that luminous bright mind is still a consciousness. Understand? That is still the mundane mind, even without its content, that is still the pure awareness or pure consciousness, without its content. But since you doesn't know how to meditate, he used this mind wrongly. He doesn't allow the mundane mind to cease. That's why he keeps on thinking that this is his true mind. And what did he do? He keeps on polishing the mirror. Until no dust can align. And his mistake is, polish means what? Constantly want to be mindful. How can you live life? You're supposed to develop the mindfulness, the awareness, the silent mind to awaken. When you awaken, the wisdom is there, then no need to be mindful. The wisdom will protect you. And the wisdom will awaken you. You don't need to practice anymore or do all those things. You only initially train your mundane mind to realize the silent mind and to realize your true mind. After that, it will understand by itself. Then that wisdom connected to your form and mind will allow you to understand that this is the mundane mind. This is not your true mind. That's why no need to go and do all those foolish things. Who is polishing? That's why he does thought-based meditation. Polish until it shines. So that no dust can arise. What is this dust? Dust is a duality. Understand? Defilement. Unwholesome state. So this one is a duality. This one is a defilement. Defilement. Duality. Created by thought. Which is part of reality. So this defilement is created by the mundane mind. So that no dust can arise. So he every time wants to maintain wholesome state of mind, the pure mind. He doesn't want to have any evil root, the mundane mind. This is not the way to practice, understand? That's why thought-based meditation has this problem. You want to be perfect, you want to be pure, you want to be enlightened. But who created defilement, unwholesome mind state? It's your thought. So how did Sun Tzu counter all this? He said, the mirror bright on a stand is your mundane mind, it's not your true mind. That's why he said, Hu ti peng wu su, ming jing yi fei tai. Well, the true mind is neither the mirror bright nor the stand. And what is the true mind? What is the true mind? What is your true nature, your self nature that you want to realize? You don't even know that, how can you realize that? The word original mind, all our words. I already explained so many times. How can you realize your true mind? Where your mundane mind sees, when you don't create and don't arrive, that is your true mind. So what is this true mind? The next stanza is what? After that, so that true mind. Because the mundane mind don't arrive, who is there to say flag or wind or anything? So originally there was nothing. Why you go and do all the thought-based meditation? Go and polish until it shines. Originally there was nothing. You didn't even create. So where got dust? When there is no duality, no creation, Nothing can stay there. That's like, 本来无一物. Originally there was nothing. Where can this dust that your mundane mind create alive? But that mind cannot hold anything. Does not dwell. Does not do anything. It was just empty. Nothing. That's why that nature cannot come out and live life. You understand? That's why that counter poem is so powerful, everybody knew Hui Ning is different. And how can he understand that? The three people never taught him.
Because of his past cultivation, understand?
He was born without the mundane mind. That's why to him, he said, all this is rubbish. You understand? Because since you got the mundane mind, understand? He don't have the mundane mind. His mind already without mark. Understand? No thought, no mark, and no dwelling. That's why he said, Ming Jing Yi Fei Tai. He said, the true mind has got nothing of that. That is not your true mind. He said that true mind originally got nothing. Well, he was born like that. You understand? Can you follow? That's why the prayer was so powerful. And this is the essence of the Mahayana teaching. When you understand this, you don't waste your time cultivating thought-based meditation. Understand? Creating duality and all those things. You straight away, like the final summary last week you went through, you straight away silent. That is what you're supposed to do. Relax away and let it return to its original state. Then what happens? You will realize your true mind, your self-nature. And there was got nothing. That's why no need to cultivate. No need to do anything. Just relax, silent, aware, then you know. This is the nature that never dies. The other one is dependent originating, condition arising. That's why it's impermanent. It leads to suffering. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can call, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. That's how the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, empty nature, and non-self come about. All from this teaching. That's why when your silent mind insight into phenomena, all this you will understand. You will penetrate. Clear or not? After we finish three over years, you still don't know what this thing is. I tell you, kao la la. If he hang around, he also don't know what to do with you. Now you understand why I say it. You must cultivate with understanding, understand? If you cultivate with knowledge, you only through memory, I tell you, you cannot answer all this, you cannot explain all this. That's why every time you have to refer to book. Understand? If you are serious about Dhamma or life, it will be just like a mundane person in this world. If you are careful with your money, you will know how much money you have in your bank account. Correct or not? You need to check or not? You sure know, I still have money. Like this Dhamma, if you understand, you don't need to check. Straight away, you can answer. Like you want to buy property or what? No need to worry. Oh, down payment. How much? Oh, I have. He can issue a check straight away. But he know, your bank account also you don't know. This is important, understand? That's why cultivation is the same. When you give importance and you cultivate understanding, the understanding is there. You don't need to ask around or check. It's all inside your nature, part of you. It's like when people ask you, who are you? You got to think, who are you? I am Miss Lee, straight away. Agate. This someone say, oh, not sure, I need to go back check my birth cert, check my IC. Oh, like that means, kao la la. Then where you stay also? I don't know, somewhere there. These are so important, how can you say you don't know? So like Dhamma, it concerns what? Birth and death. It will karma, no? It will your entire existence and life, no? Not only this life, all your future life. And yet you are not serious about it. You understand? Exactly the same way. If you see the seriousness and the importance of this teaching, you will go all out to cultivate. You see the point, you will not procrastinate, you will not wait anymore, because this is so dangerous. If I don't understand this, it's just like I don't understand life. I don't understand what is going on and how I become miserable. How this form of mind through delusion get entangled and suffer. If that is what you want, then continue to be heedless. Otherwise, better wake up and take this seriously. Understand? So this teaching is so beautiful. That's why Hui Ning say, if you are born during the period where the sasana is there, and this sutta is there, means with the sudden teaching, he promised you, you can become enlightened. Because it will take you directly to the true mind, and you will realize your self-nature. You better turn to page 428. Last week we are at 428. And that sutta, what did Hui Ning say? You better read to me. I don't want to read anymore. Oh, sorry. 419. 419. The sutta part. 419. Read long. Read long all together. In this life, of the sudden, you will be. So what are you waiting for? Are you born in this life? Did you encounter the sudden teaching? And someone, what are you waiting? Not enlightened. Here the sutta says, if in this life you encounter the Dhamma door, the sudden teaching, which is Hui Ning's teaching. Understand? This sudden teaching is from the south. They call it the Southern School, Nan Chuan. So he said, if in this life you encounter the Dhamma door of the sudden teaching, you will be suddenly enlightened to your self nature. And why is it not happening? Because you are not serious. Understand? Already all the teaching points towards that. Just silence your mind, relax, aware, and you will realize that. Is it so difficult? Because you never try, you never do it. You don't have the understanding. You every time want to become enlightened, you want to meditate, you keep on creating the thought. Understand? The thought want to know, the thought want to meditate. The thought want to try to be mindful. You are doing all this stupid thing. Which is all thought-based. Because your mundane mind is so active. You better wake up and realize that your mundane mind is the thinking mind, dependent originating mind. That's why since you thought the mirror bride, understand, he thought this mind inside there is the true mind. And that is not the true mind. Well, that is the conscious mind, which can create thought. And he's using that conscious mind to create thought of reality. Then he wants to do away with defilement. That's why he calls it dust. And he just wants to be in the pure state, perfect state, mindful state. That is not the way to cultivate. The way to cultivate is to awaken to that realization. When the silent mind awakens, the wisdom is there. Straight away it knows what this thing is. Then it will straight away know that this one is not my true mind. Then why did I bother to go and worry about it, grasp and cling and hold and get into trouble? I just use this. Understand now? Because this is karmically conditioned for me to come to this world, existential world, to live life. To cultivate, to experience life, to do what I need to do. It's like a tool. So I use, finish. I don't have to worry about it getting old, getting sick and die.
I don't have to be deceived by what it tells me. But this is the phenomenal world of consciousness, not real.
That's why in the Diamond Sutta, it says, 一切有为法. You know what is 一切有为法? Within our existential world, all are 有为法 is what? Condition Dhamma, understand or not? And what is condition Dhamma? 如梦幻泡影. And what is Zhu Meng? Zhu is light. Meng is what? Dream light. Huan is illusion. Understand? Then Pao is bubble. Split second like feeling. Feeling is like a bubble. Gone. Gone. Then the last one is like a shadow. So if the conditioned world is just this thing, dream light, An illusion, like a bubble and a shadow, then why are you being deceived by it, deluded by it? Then he said, the next stanza, he said, Zulu Yi Lu Dian. And it happens so far, it's like a dew, a morning dew. The moment the sun rises, it's gone. The condition no more, that dew is gone. Then like a lightning flash. What is a lightning flash? Very fast, it's gone, isn't it? And what is life? We have gone through the three periods, past, present, and future. Of this, the past and the future are not a reality, isn't it? True or not? Past is already gone, future yet to come. So the only reality is what? The present moment. That's why you always talk about the present moment, the here and the now, this moment. But how real is the moment? How stable is the moment? The moment I talk about it, it's gone. Understand? That's why in the Klang talk, I say to understand emptiness, to understand impermanence, you look at the present moment. This is the only reality in life. Moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? And how real is the present moment? Split second like a flash of lightning is gone. Every moment it arrives, disappear, arise, disappear, or pass away. Within your phantom land body, form and mind is the same. Your feeling, come and go. Your thought, come and go. Understand? Sankara arise and pass away so fast. And how real can it be? That's why Ru Lu Yi Lu Dian. And you have to contemplate it this way. Ying Zuo Ru Shi Guan. So this is so beautiful, the teaching. And you never get to understand it. And every time you go to refer to the book, it's not developed through an understanding yet. It is developed through an understanding. You don't have to remember. That's why I say it's not memory. It's when you understand, it goes in. Because you awaken, you realize that this is so beautiful. Unless you realize and understand what your true mind is, your silent mind is, you can never progress in your real meditation. Because you don't know how to use that mind. If you don't know what that mind is, how can you realize it? True or not? You cannot learn something that you don't understand. That's why Pariyatti is the learning of the teaching. You have to learn that you have basically two minds, understand? You understand? I make it simple for you. Hui Ning never teach like that. He never say you got two minds. But he was born without the mundane mind. So he don't want to talk about the mundane mind. He just say go to the true mind. So his first unique hallmark is no thought. When you go to that true mind, it's without the mundane mind. When the mundane mind sees, that true mind appears. So that true mind has got nothing. That's why no thought means what? No creation. No duality. No duality means no suffering, no delusion, no defilement. Everything empty. That's why you have to hit that no mark, no thought, and no mark, then no dwelling. Then you realize that the phenomenal world is a world of consciousness, not real. Empty, impermanent, lead to suffering.
That's why 一切以为法，如梦幻泡影，如露亦如电。And this poem becomes so beautiful, the stanza, the Diamond Sutta stanza. And this is the highest teaching. And the Diamond Sutta, Sakyamuni Buddha always stressed on this teaching. And it comes from Huining's hallmark teaching. And all these are connected back to the Heart Sutta. They point towards the same truth. That's why it's perfection of wisdom. Okay? So his whole teaching is just so simple. And I repeat the sutta before he died. If in this life you encounter the Dhamma Dao, the sudden teaching of Huining, you will be suddenly enlightened to your self nature and see the honor of the world. Means the Buddha. So if you wish to cultivate and aspire to Buddhahood, you won't know where the truth is to be sorted unless you can see the truth within your own mind. And this truth, which is the cause of realizing Buddhahood, you have to understand. Not to see yourself nature, but to seek the Buddha outside. This is the wrong way. If you think that way, you are deluded. Indeed. So now you understand. You cannot seek truth outside of your nature. You understand? That's why I go everywhere. Wow, this monk, this teacher, everywhere you go. This method, this technique. Wow. You run everywhere, not realizing that the truth is within. Your self nature is within. Then the next sentence is what? I now leave behind the Dhamma Dao of the sudden teaching, means he is about to parinibbana, to liberate worldly people who must cultivate themselves. Now you understand, you cannot say Buddha, out of great compassion, cultivate for me. No such thing, or make me enlightened, or teach me wisdom. Cannot. Then he said, I announce to you and to future students of the way, if you do not hold this understanding or views, you will only waste your... So if you go and do thought-based meditation, you don't go and silence your mind and realize your true nature, your self nature, you can be for eons and eons and eons of birth and death, continue not to find the way. You're wasting your time. Then the next section all saying. So he says, having spoken the verse, the master continued. The next paragraph of the sutta. If you should take care, all of you should take care, after my extinction, means his parinibbana, do not act with emotion. Worldly emotion. If you weep in sorrow, receive condolences, and wear mourning clothes, you are not my... So a lot of people still cling to the past memory, you know. But you don't mix this up with gratitude. Gratitude is different. You can feel gratitude for your teacher, your master, and all those things. But don't grieve, understand now. Don't go and mourn, understand now. Don't go and attach. Because condition gone means gone. And there's, at that time, the segmented life is just the form and mind, not real, not what you think. What is important about their teaching is their nature, understand not? Their perfection, their cultivation, their wisdom and virtue. So out of respect, develop the gratitude towards them and thank them for what they have shared and taught you. But don't go and attach. Don't go and hold on to that image and go and lament and do all those foolish things. For that is contrary to the proper Dhamma. So remember, Huining is so serious that he said, if you do all this, you are not my disciple. You understand his importance. His stress is so clearly. Because this is not the Dhamma way. So simply recognize your one. Penlai de mianmu, original mind. And see your
own original self-nature, which is neither or still. See, stillness also not there one. Because stillness is still a mind state, understand or not? Then the next one, neither produce nor extinguish, neither coming nor going, neither right or wrong, no duality, neither dwelling or departing. And this is exactly what Heart Sutta says. In true emptiness, what did the Heart Sutta say? Puan. What is the word? Defile is one. Bukou, Bujing. Bu zhen, Bu qian. It's exactly the same. Understand? And this is what Huineng is teaching you. Exactly the same. And this is his last message, understand? His last word. Before his parinibbana. The whole teaching he summarized for you again. And until now, it's very easy for you to awaken if you understand what he is trying to tell you. There is nothing for you to do. You understand? When the mundane mind sees, when it doesn't think or create and arise anything, what happens? You will realize your true mind. Understand? But that is silent. Understand? When there is no movement of sankhara, then that mind is silent. And that is your true mind. Before the stirring, before the arising of thought. And this nature is all the time there, the essence of mind. That's why the Buddha says, mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chi. When mind arises, everything arises. And this one he refers to the mundane mind. That's why when the fifth patriarch told Huineng, the moment he awakened, he realized, he said, how amazing. He told the fifth patriarch, how amazing this self nature of ours is complete by itself. Don't need anything. And everything arises from this self-nature. All Dhamma arises from this self-nature. And yet nothing is apart from it. That's why those who have realized, they will understand all this. That's why don't use your thought. Don't try to understand your thought. Silence your mind, meditate and realize it. And that awakening is different. That one that understands is real awakening. Don't every time use the thought, oh, am I doing it correct? Is this what Brother Teo say? Is this what the Buddha say? Then chase here, chase there. Oh, this monk very good. This one. But you never go in and silent. And you keep on that mundane maya telling you a lot of story. Oh, yo, I must try this, I must try that, I must go here, I must go there. Oh, I was told this one, he got what and what. That's why Huineng already knew all this. He said, forget about it. Even Xu Yun, he also realized that. You know the 120-year-old monk? Xu Yun? Empty cloud. He initially also took the wrong path. Well, he doesn't have the understanding yet. Until after he spent almost 6 years meditating alone in the cave, doing all this samatha meditation or absorption at one point, the mind becomes so still, so calm. But this one is not insight, not mindfulness, not the silent mind. That's why finally, initially he thought he was already enlightened, but when he heard the wise man that walked by encounter his poem, he realized he has not developed the clear understanding. That's why that wise man told him, the enlightened being told him, you must go to this temple, look for the abbot. And he went there. That's how he learned the true teaching. Then when he learned the true teaching, he realized Dhamma or meditation is not a part of life. It's part of life.
Then he realized there is such thing as a right duty. The form and mind subject to karma has a right duty. That's why he realized his mistake. He mistreated his parents and his two wives that he married without knowing that there is a right duty that his form and mind is subject to. That's why after he became clear about the teaching, he made that vow, that very heavy vow, three step one vow, to repay his debt to his parents for what he has done to them. That's why he endured that suffering, and it took him 3 years to walk all the way, three step one vow, from Puthosan to Uthaisan. And every three step, when he bow, he recite Manjusri verse. Nama Vansu, don't know what Pusa. So all this was what he has to repay for the mistake he has done. And actually the father and the two wives, they were very miserable. Because they couldn't even meet him. The last chance to meet also, he refused to meet them. Because he's scared if he meet them, he cannot become monk. He thought the monk is just seriously meditating. That is not the real monk. The real monk is the monk that has the understanding that the Buddha taught. And all the enlightened disciples of the Buddha have these four great virtues or conduct. We chant almost every session. After we invite the devas, the invocation to the devas, we chant the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, then last one is what? Salutation to the Sangha. So the first four that you chant is what? Supatipanno bhagavato sāvaka sangho. What is the meaning? What is the meaning? You chant without understanding. What is the meaning? The mic here. Miss Lee, very well equipped. All the chanting book there. Oh, man, for today. Okay. You read out the meaning. Salutation to the Sangha. No. You don't have the normal chanting book. Page 6. Samantha. After that. No, that one is salutation to the Buddha, the nine great virtue. Then next one is what? No. What page are you reading? You are getting the wrong book. No. This one. Page 6. Invocation to the devas.
You want the English one or the...
English one, the Pali one you don't understand, so how?
In the universe?
No, that one is invocation, then after that...
Homage to him...
After that... That one is to the Buddha, then the next one? Then the last one?
Salutation to the Sangha.
That is the one I'm asking you. That one explained to you what the Sangha is all about, the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. The salutation to the Buddha explained the nine great virtues of the Buddha. Salutation to the Dhamma explained to you what that Dhamma is. Then salutation to the Sangha are... So these are the four virtue that all the enlightened disciple of the Buddha has. So read the first stanza. Sangha. Now I'm talking about enlightened being or the Buddha.
Of good conduct is the order of the disciples of the Buddha.
So what is good conduct? What is good conduct? Huh? You like the teacher tick, very good. You must understand what is good conduct. Definitely virtue, like what PG says, but express a little bit more. When you have good conduct, what does it mean? You conduct yourself? What is good conduct? Means you are able to conduct yourself in a proper manner, isn't it? With a lot of goodness and wholesomeness. That's why PG says virtue, isn't it? And what is virtue? Huh? You use Mandarin or English? No. Go into it. What is virtue? You use the Mandarin word. Yeah. So give an example. Give an example.
That wholesomeness
is very general. Whatever that brings about good conduct brings benefits to. Correct, but give me some example. Because that word, I realize you all never understand. You use that word without understanding. What is good conduct? The word good, you already know what it is, isn't it? Can you give some example of good conduct? Good conduct. Give some meaning. What is the meaning? What type of conduct is good? How do you conduct yourself to qualify as having good conduct? That one also very general. I give you a very simple one. If this man keeps his precept, is it a good conduct? So keeping precept means he has good conduct. He doesn't kill, he doesn't harm, and all those things. Then what else? If he doesn't steal, what is the opposite? The ennobler. If he is very generous, means he got good conduct, understand? If he is very kind, very gentle, very pleasant, very helpful, full of contentment, gratitude, understand? These are all good conduct, understand? He conducts himself properly. He doesn't cheat, he doesn't lie, but you must give some example, otherwise you cannot cultivate. You understand? That's why... If I don't go into this, you will never improve. You take the word and think you know, and you don't even go into what is the meaning of good conduct. What is the meaning of supatipanno bhagavato sāvaka-saṅgho? Good conduct is the order of the enlightened being of the Buddha. What is good conduct? He conducts himself in a very good way. That's why he keeps his precepts. He never lied, he never cheated, he never deceived, he never commits sexual misconduct. He commits himself to celibacy and all those things. That's why they conduct themselves very well. And all the other virtues, like PG says, generosity, contentment, respect, humility, sincerity. All these are virtues, understand? Give rise to good conduct. So this is the first virtue, the first conduct. To be an enlightened disciple of the Buddha. The four great conduct or virtue. Second one is what? Read.
Of upright conduct.
What is upright conduct?
The order of the disciple of the Blessed One.
What is upright conduct?
Huh?
upright means what? Not inverted. Not tian tao. So what is upright?
That's very difficult.
What is upright? Means this monk is very what? He is very righteous, understand? That's why he's very upright. You want to bribe him, cannot, understand? Because he conducts himself in a very upright manner, means he is not rigid, don't get him wrong, he is not rigid, but he has wisdom, things that lead to negativity, harm against the precept and all, he will never do, that's why he conducts himself righteously, of upright conduct, you understand, things that is against the precept, he can never do, things that leads to evil, negativity, he can never do, that's why he is very righteous, upright, but not rigid.
The third one is what?
Nyaya patipanno, what is nyaya? Wise conduct. Nyana from the word. So wise conduct, you know what? Means they have wisdom, they have right view. Understand? Wise conduct means they have wisdom, they have right view.
And right view.
Last one. So what is that?
Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sangha.
So this one, number four, is of dutiful conduct. Means they know their right duty. As a form and mind, a human being, you have this right duty towards the law of karma. Where this form and mind is subject to karma. So this part, you must have. That's why Shi, initially when he cultivated, he don't have right duty. So this right duty is not there, wise conduct also not there. But he has good conduct and upright conduct. Because he is very, very strict about his precepts. He just wants to become a monk. And he doesn't know that he has a duty, the form of mind. That's why he neglected his father. That's why he did that vow to pay back his parents' debt. And every time when people remind him of the wife, he doesn't want to think about it. Where he's kept his emotion forward. And that is not the way to cultivate. You cultivate with wisdom. Wisdom means what? That's why finally that wise man told him, Dhamma or cultivation is not apart from life. Then only he started to realize. Because he wanted to renounce, and he was so serious, he don't even want to get married. Then the father forced him to marry, and one time married two of them together. And he neglected them. Initially he said, okay, we agree. Don't sleep with them. For two years he never slept with them. Never mind, the wife still okay. As long as he remained their husband and all that. They're willing to help him. And one of the wives is very much into the Dhamma. And the wife actually hinted to him. Because he tried to discuss Dhamma with them. And he was so happy. One of the wives is very knowledgeable in the Dhamma. And the wife actually gave him an example. That lay person who also become enlightened. So when it comes to that part, Shi Yun knows about that Zen story. When he mentioned about that part, he realized what the wife is trying to tell him. You don't have to renounce, become a monk. Also you can cultivate and become enlightened. He refused to look at that. He just said, no. I know what you are driving at. I really want to renounce. Then he cut it off. And the wife was really, really disappointed with him. Because he gave him a lot of heat, and the wife never argued with him. And they were very good wife. And after he left, he finally managed to go to one temple where the father cannot find him. Where the father is a high official. And he became monk. But that wife that has the Dhamma knew where he is going. The Kusada. In what? In China. Southern China. Fuzhou? Fuzhou, I forgot it. He went there, become a monk. Then the wife visited him, want to see him for the last time and just relate what happened to the father and the family. He refused. Until finally the father died. Before he died, the wife actually was forced to reveal where the son is. So when he told him that he was at that temple, the father, high official, sent the soldier there. But the abbot knew and told him to run. So he ran into the forest and lived in the cave. That's why that 6 years he was alone meditating to Dutanga, seclusion or something. And he thought he enlightened. He was not. He was trapped in Samatha meditation, absorption and one-pointedness and all those things. Until he met that wise man who told him, this is not the way to cultivate. The real cultivation is life itself. Dhamma is never apart from life. Because if it's apart from life, it's not the Dhamma. You cannot live life. You have to be at peace everywhere you go. Understand? In the midst of life and society and nature. Then he realized he went wrong. Then he told him, the past, don't go and grieve over it. Now, most important, you go to this temple, see the abbot. He can teach you the true Dhamma. That's why he went. and he learned everything all over again. So after he came to realize the Dhamma, he became a completely different person. Then after that, you know what happened? When he did the three-step one bow, there were four monks. They were so keen to follow him because they know this is a real practitioner, very determined, very serious. Every three steps, bow. Then when they reached a river, a stream, not that deep, one of the ladies need to cross the stream because there is something important that she need to do. So when they reached that stream, they saw this young lady. They asked her, what is it she is doing? He said she's trying to find out how deep the river is. Then she realized it's not that deep, but she got problem with her feet. She cannot touch cold water. Otherwise, he can get sickness and all those things. So he appealed to the monks. All the four monks that follow Shi Yunnan said, no, we are monks, we cannot touch. The opposite side. And he asked Xu Yun, and you know what Xu Yun did? He said, yeah, can. Climb over. And Xu Yun just took that lady across. The four monks all looking at him. Then one of them cannot take it anymore. Straight away questioned him. We are monks. We're not supposed to touch the opposite side. Then Xu Yun laughed and replied, I just carry her and cross the stream, I drop her. You have been carrying her since the time I carry him, and after I dropped her, you still carrying him. Then only the man realized. The one who attached was because he doesn't understand. If you have the understanding already, you are not subject to all this, understand? That's why the Buddha said beyond training. You remember? Seka and asika. Beyond training. Means the mind understands this is When you are under training, the Buddha establishes rule, the Patimokkha, is because he scared without that training, you will succumb. Understand? You will be what they call, you can fall, understand? You can succumb. You can be tempted. But because if that person has already has the understanding, It's nothing. Understand? Carry means what? You don't go and arise that dirty thought, the lustful thought and all those things. What is that? It's just like you're helping somebody to cross. Understand? You carry a child. It so happens the child is opposite sex, you cannot carry. What type of human being are you? Sometimes, in the midst of emergency, you don't go and, I got this patimokkha, I cannot jump in, opposite sex. And then you let the lady drown. Understand? Oh, you are a lady, it's a man, I cannot. After all, if I'm not careful, I go in and save it. What happened to the pop mong? You go and think like that. That lie is very important. Understand? If you can sweep, you have the ability, you should try your best to save. Or get other people to help. Or think of something innovative to help. Throw in a float or whatever. Understand? Yeah. Because there is condition, yu yan. So this four is the best test. If you think you are a cultivator, if you think you already understand or enlightened, you check this four things. You have or not? Do you have this four things? Otherwise, you are not a true disciple of the Buddha. So this good conduct, be careful, it's not good according to you. Understand? Good according to you is not good conduct. That is your views and opinion of good. Good according to nature's law means, like last Thursday, remember? Tammy, you asked a question about your officer. The third pointer. Whatever I want to arise to resolve this thing amicably, you have to check. Does it have karmic implications? Remember? How will the karma manifest? That is the question, the inquiry. Don't go and say, good, according to you, no. That's why I'm helping him, no. It's like some people force the son or the daughter or the children to study certain subject. Good for them, come out, make big money, got good income. But that is their career, their life. You should let them understand and decide. You don't go and decide. Because to you, it's selfish. You want your children to be like that, because you can't sue on the sana. You want them to become famous, doctor, professionals, and all those things. So all this is understanding that when you are righteous, you are not rigid. Always remember, righteous means you cannot compromise. But like Xun, understand not? Because there was such condition, that's why he took him across. Then there was one case when he was at Jichu San, the temple that we went recently. It seems the other monk, the abbot of that temple, he want to frame Xun. And he actually kept one lady from one of the rich family through his very evil, deceitful means. And actually she became pregnant, about to deliver. And he purposely asked her to help him to frame Xu Yin. And middle of the night, under very chill condition, went and approached the temple and asked for help that she is going to deliver. And the disciple and all those people know that this is against the monk's precept to allow a lady to be delivered in the house, because the gossip and the rumor will go, and he will be in big trouble. And his answer is always one. He said, life concern. Never mind, bring her in. And he always said, the disciple always warned him, this is a very dangerous mission, especially when he was told to help the Chinese government to go to this Tibet, Panchen Lama, to talk peace and to arrange for the thing. They say, chances is 90% you will be dead, you go on this mission. And you know what he told them? If I don't enter hell, who will enter hell? He always quote the Tizang Wang Pusa, the Earth Store Bodhisattva. He always say his vow, not until the hell is empty or helping. He will never vow to become the Sammasambuddha. So he always say, if I don't go to hell, who will go to hell? So when the disciple heard him say that,
they also give out. They say, okay, I will follow you. And be careful. So these are the very important check for your cultivation. If you cannot develop wholesome right conduct or good conduct, upright conduct means your righteousness. If you don't have the wisdom with regards to the Dhamma, and you don't know that there is a duty that you have against the law of karma, where this form of mind is subject to karma. This one is most important. This one a lot of cultivators doesn't understand. They always think, my duty is to cultivate as a monk, meditate, become enlightened. No. Because without all this, do you realize the Noble Eightfold Path is not there? You realize that? Good conduct means on. Right speech, right action, right livelihood, they are there. And you have right view means you got wise conduct. Righteous conduct means you have your precepts and all those things. Then dutiful conduct means you take care of karma. You don't neglect your form and mind. Your form and mind is subject to karma. So everything you do, even you are enlightened, there is such thing as karma. But that form and mind is subject to karma. Whether you enlighten or not enlighten, that form of mind is always subject to karma. Just like that one, the Buddha said, is always born of karma. You are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. Okay? So this is the part you must remember. Because Xu Yun also didn't get this right initially. So do your duty. That's the reason why Hui Ning is different. You know what Hui Ning did? When they told him the fifth patriarch, because he wanted to know where does this Diamond Sutta came from. When he was told about the fifth patriarch, then the merchant said, you should go. He said, no, I still have my mother to take care. See, he knew his right duty. Then the merchant told Hui Ning, you don't worry, I will take care of all those things. Then he went back, talked to the mother, make sure everything is taken care of, then only he left. That's why Hui Ning has his right duty, right understanding. He do things differently. So these four special conduct or virtue of an enlightened being, of the disciple of the Buddha, is very important. This is the best check. Without this, you don't have the Noble Eightfold Path. That's why only Noble Eightfold Path free liberates the mind. Okay? So I more or less have covered all the important teaching of the six patriarch Blackpaw Sutta. Any part that you all still want me to explain or maybe share? While I have a drink, you all reflect, contemplate, and think of whatever you want to ask. Anybody else want to ask any question or bring out any topic that we have covered that you still don't understand? The sudden teaching and the gradual teaching also we already covered. Anybody got any question? Don't have. So far clear, the six patriarch sutta. Especially the two poem. I tell you, this is the essence of the six patriarch platform sutta. Is this Dupaya you cannot understand? It's not easy. And this poem is very clearly explained in the Heart Sutta. You go back and check the first few chapters, Heart Sutta. Was it chapter 3? Oh, chapter 5. Page 9. Chapter what? Lesson 2, page 9. It's all very clearly explained there. You have to read through slowly to develop the clear understanding. And that one very good. Got Mandarin and English, both are there. Any other questions? You don't have, then we go through the 2nd of September short notes that Chin Hao sent out. If you have your handphone, you're on it. Chin Hao just sent today. Okay. Means last week, short note. Short note for Wu Pingqing, sir. Chapter 10, final instruction. When the class was about to start, Brother Teo told us that when Sister PG came to his house to fetch him and Mrs. Teo, Sister PG told him to hurry as it was about to rain. After they had gone into the car, within less than a minute, the rain started pouring heavily. But very surprisingly, when they arrived at Wu Pingqing, sir, the rain abruptly stopped, and they went in without getting themselves wet. Then just before Brother Teo commenced the puja chanting before the class, the heavy thunderstorm accompanied by loud sound of thunder and lightning came back. When we were in the kneeling position, just before we chant the salutation to the great beings, Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Yin, and the rest, there was a very loud thunder sound. Bratio explained that his nature can sense the sign which was so obvious that day. These are nature's phenomena of joy signaling something important is going to occur. Bratio predicted that it must be something important that we are going to share that day. Later, after we had started the class, Bratio shared with us the reason for such phenomena. The main reason is because we are going to discuss the final summary of the Six Patriarchs' teaching, the last chapter. So the devas and Dhamma protectors are all rejoicing as they are looking forward to such sharing. The southern teaching of the Dayan school, or southern school, is also known as the Dhamma Dao of the southern teaching as taught by Huineng. The key word is sudden, which means sudden enlightenment or awakening as taught by Huineng of the southern school, as opposed to Sun Siu's gradual teaching of the northern school. In fact, there is no such thing as a gradual enlightenment. The moment you awaken, the wisdom will be there. So all enlightenment is always sudden. The gradual or northern school doesn't have such true understanding. And to them, they are of the opinion that the cultivator has to cultivate gradually via various skillful means, method and technique, which is mainly thought-based meditation first, then hope to become enlightened one day. The sutta say, if in this line you encounter the Dhammadhar of the southern teaching or school, You will suddenly enlighten to your self nature and see the Honored One of the world. Not to see your self nature, but seek the Buddha outside. If you think that way, you have been deluded indeed. I now leave behind the Dhamma door of the sudden teaching to liberate worldly people who must cultivate themselves. So the meaning here is, if you can encounter the Dhamma door of the sudden teaching this time, you can become instantly or suddenly enlightened. We are realizing your true mind or original mind and see your own true nature, which is different from your mundane or thinking mind. You must cultivate the Dhamma door of the sudden enlightenment on your own, and you must not seek Buddha outside of your nature. Understand your mind and see your own nature or self nature. That is the way to realize Buddhahood and the enlightenment. The sixth patriarch before his Parinibbana advised his student as follows. After my extinction of Parinibbana, do not act with worldly emotion. If you weep in sorrow, receive condolences or wear mourning clothes. You are not my disciple, for that is contrary to the proper Dhamma. Simply recognize your own original mind and see your own original true nature, which is neither moving nor still, neither produced nor extinguished, neither coming nor going, neither good, right or wrong, neither dwelling nor departing, and you will awaken. Work to realize your self nature, understand your mind, then you will not have wasted your time. After my extinction, continue to cultivate accordingly as if I were still present. Should you neglect or discard my sudden teaching, then even if I were to remain in the world, you would obtain no benefit. After giving the above advice, the sixth patriarch sat upright until the third watch, and then he suddenly told them, the time has come for him to go while meditating with them. In that instant he is gone, means he has realized Nibbana. And at that instant, the room was filled with a rare fragrance, because the devas and Dhamma protectors and other great beings and cultivators of great virtue and wisdom came to pay their respect. This was followed by a nature's phenomenon. The forest turned white because the white rainbow light shone on it. And even the animals, trees, mountains, birds and grass, etc. show their spiritual nature and weep silently. Then there are some important data of Master Huineng. He was born in the year 638 AD in Xingxing County, Yuanfu province of China. He was an illiterate. He didn't attend school. And he was born without a mundane mind. He died in the year 713 AD at the age of 76. At the age of 24, the robe and the insignia bow was transmitted to him by the fifth patriarch, and he became the sixth patriarch. For 15 years, he was with the hunters, waiting for the appropriate condition to share his understanding with the world. At the age of 39, the condition arises, and he was officially ordained as a monk at Nanhua Si. Master Huineng's flesh body, together with the rope and bark, was eventually returned to Nanhua Si, or temple, after his Parinibbana. Master Huineng's core teaching is to take the cultivator directly to the true mind, thereby enabling them to avoid unnecessary thought-based cultivation or meditation. That is to start from the silent mind or true mind. The three important hallmarks of his teaching are to realize no thought, no mind, and no dwelling. No thought means the true mind, the silent mind, or the meditative mind. It also means no duality, no attachment, no suffering, etc., where there is no mundane mind or sankhara. No mind means no mind of a self-cultivating, no mind of others, and no mind of life, existence and Dhamma, etc. No dwelling means spacious awareness without the center for the mind to dwell. And there are two types of non-dwelling mind state. The other type is specific phenomenal awareness. Note, spacious awareness without a center is a static mode, mainly in form of meditative state. And specific phenomenal awareness is an active mode, can live life, or it is for living. So this one is very useful. So this summarizes what we have done last week, our last lesson 84. Okay, any questions? You better make use of this session. Pass the mic to you.
Brother Teo, you mentioned about specific awareness without a center. And that is mainly a static mode, mainly in formal meditation state. And then there is that specific phenomenon awareness, active mode, can live life or for living. Now, these two can exist together, right? Because when you're in meditation,
it's not together. It's not together because you have to understand they are specific. Because you can only do one thing at a time. If you are in the midst of life and nature, you need to live life. Your consciousness need to arise. So when your consciousness arises, most human beings will dwell. How do they dwell? Because they will perceive. Then they dwell there. But the enlightened being, they don't dwell, they just aware. And that awareness will move. That's why it's called specific phenomenal awareness. That phenomena, because phenomena is whatever that the mind can perceive, is a phenomenon. So that phenomena is active. Specific phenomenal awareness, it's still aware. It doesn't dwell, it doesn't stay there, but it flows with that phenomenon. Whereas the spacious awareness without a center, there is no movement. Understand? There is no consciousness at all. It's just silent away.
Can I? Actually, I think I phrased that question wrongly. Maybe I meant to say that it should happen in tandem. Because one moment you can be in that static mode, And then another moment, because time is just like you always said, but that is not going to be helpful, understand?
Because you are trying to understand it as a technical question, understand? It's not important. More important is when you go through this in life, then you will understand what that thing is. That is more. Because a lot of people, they like to bring up technical question which is of not much use for cultivation, understand? Because sometimes it's theory, you just want to know the theory, possible or not, but it's not going to help you.
But we want to live life, you see? So
no, you want to live life, you need to arise the mundane mind, understand? And this mundane mind, if you already have taken the bodhisattva way, it can collapse, like Hui Ning's case. Once it collapses, it's no more mundane mind, then your supramundane mind or the true mind will shine forth. Then when that one shine forth, it's automatically in the state of no thought, no mind, and no dwelling. It's automatic. So whether you live life or you are in the form of meditation, both of these can arise. And when they arise, it's just like that. Because there is no more mundane mind, understand? Because that nature shines forth. But when you are still without the ability to cause the mundane mind to collapse, then this mundane mind is still there. In fact, a lot of arahants still have the mundane mind. That's why the Mahayana call it enlightenment with outflow.
Outflow means what? The arahant, as you all know, there is no more avijja, no more ignorance. That's why there is no rebirth consciousness. After the parinibbana, after they pass away, they will not take rebirth. That's why they have ceased the segmented birth and death of that so-called form and mind. Means no more rebirth. But when they are still alive, means the aggregate are still there. This aggregate is with residue because the mundane mind is still there and there is still outflow. Outflow of birth and death of thought. Understand? Where the mundane mind still got birth and death of thought. So that's why that enlightenment or nirvana is with residue, with outflow. Whereas the other one, the bodhisattva that goes the full way, once the mundane mind collapses, there is no more thought, creating birth and death. There is just awareness, shine forth, just like that. But there is a supramundane mind inside, very fine, that is totally different. That is way beyond normal cultivator to understand. So unless you go through, you cannot understand. Okay? Any other questions? Use the mic.
Sorry about this. You mentioned that Queen Ning was born without a mundane mind. Now that is karmic conditioning, right?
You can say it's part of the karmic conditioning because his karmic nature is such that when he is born in that life, that segment, he comes with that condition. So in that sense, you can say it's partly because of karma. But the main reason is he understands, he has this wisdom and understanding, and his perfection and cultivation is such that he can arise the causes and conditions for this form and mind that arise, that segmented life, to have the ability to come without the mundane mind. That's why he is very, very unique. He has a very special nature. And that one needs a lot of wisdom. To arise those type of conditions. It's not easy. Even my nature calm cannot. If I have that ability, my nature also would like to calm, like winning. But not easy. It still cannot be done. Because that one, you need a very special nature. Very special nature. But it depends, because this is what winning perfected and choose to have. That's why he can come in that way, in that form, all the time. That's the reason why it was predicted when the sixth patriarch arrived 200 years later after the first patriarch. He said Mahayana will take root and Mahayana teaching will flourish after winning because he has that nature. And his nature is similar to, like they accord him the same status as Sammasambuddha. Because his teaching, his is only the lay person's teaching that become a sutta, like any of the Buddha's teaching, the sutta. That's why it's very unique. Thank you for that question, it's very good. So that people can have the understanding. But this is not easy. Without your vow, your perfection, you cannot have such condition. Even Sakyamuni Buddha, when he comes, he still has the mundane mind.
So that means, from what I understand, you just said, he's a very special being, which is very rare,
Very rare, really rare.
Mundane mind.
Correct.
Can I ask another question? No mark. There's this thing about the three important hallmarks. of his teaching.
Yeah.
No mark means no mark of self-cultivating, no mark of others, no mark of life, existence, and dharma. That means complete emptiness.
Yeah, correct.
So why do they just say emptiness? That's it.
No, because a lot of people, they need to be like, if they just speak to you directly, the truth, a lot of you will not understand. They say they are bokiwa. Because he goes direct to the true mind. That's why a lot of people cannot understand. What do you mean, is it? No need to meditate, Abraham. Just relax, silent. Can become enlightened. You will be very confused, understand? But after I explain what that meaning is, because there are two minds, then you start to understand it differently. So like Hui Neng also said, like you say, why don't you just say the word empty of all things? But you will not understand. It will not benefit you. But when he starts to break it down, he says, first, as a cultivator, you must develop the ability to have no thought. So that is to realize your true mind. Your silent mind, your meditative mind, your self-nature. Then after that, only the direct seeing, the awakening, the insight can allow you to insight into the three characteristics of nature. You understand? The three universal characteristics of nature of impermanence, suffering, and empty nature or non-self nature, that one will stand out. So when it stands out, A lot of cultivators still don't understand because the atta is so strong. Even this sotapanna, they only break the first three fetters. You understand? First one is sakkaya ditthi. Sakkaya ditthi means what? Self-delusion. Self-delusion doesn't mean he understands non-self. He doesn't have the delusion that there is a self inside there. This five aggregate of form and mind, he will know. After you die already, there is no permanent unchanging entity that transmigrate and take rebirth. No such thing. But this one is not real, you know. This one is four elements. Elements go the way of nature. Consciousness, separate. The random consciousness is finished. So he knows this is not real. This is not him. That's why you tell him, die already, how? He will never believe you. Yeah, he knows no such thing. But he still has minor conceit. You know what is minor conceit? Mana. The nine factors. He can still think that he exists. He is enlightened. There is a person cultivating. But he is no longer deluded by the self-delusion, the permanent unchanging entity that will continue, no more. So what happened is, the first thing Hui Neng got to tell you is, no mark of a self cultivating. Understand? This form of mind is not you. So it's not that you as a human being cultivate. There is no such thing. But this fellow is subject to karma. That's why your cultivation should include this understanding that this form of mind is karmically conditioned out for you to come to this world, so you make use of it. And this one is subject to karma. That's why you have a duty towards the law of karma. You cannot simply do things. This one recognizes relationship. But in ultimate truth, he know you, he know me. Understand? If he know you, he know me, where got father, where got son? Where got husband, where got wife, where got spouse, where got children and all that. So no mark of a self-cultivating is, you know this is not real. That's why he has to break it up for you. Then there is no mark of living being to say. Then you know your vow, although you make vow to save and liberate the limitless or the countless living being in the entire universe, But like the Diamond Sutta says, in actual fact, there is not a single living being to be saved. And because of that, Sakyamuni Buddha says, there are living beings to be saved. You understand? Because as far as the Diamond Sutta is concerned, no mark of self and no mark of others. Means what? There is no living being to be saved, understand or not? But then why you go and vow as a Bodhisattva to save the limitless living being? But because as a Bodhisattva, you know there is no living being to be saved, that's why there is such a vow as you undertake to liberate and save the limitless living being. You can't understand.
I'm being very cheeky, okay?
No, it's okay. You arise the condition for Dhamma to flow, which is very good.
There's nobody to save, yes. There's nothing. And then here's a Bodhisattva, taking Bodhisattva vow and saying that there are beings to be saved. Then it's okay to take the vow because you're not going to save anybody anyway.
That is delusion.
That is big delusion.
You didn't listen to what I say earlier on. This form and mind is subject to karma. This form and mind recognizes relationship. So in the conditioned world, this form and mind recognizes beings. Understand? Because they are subject to karma. That's why you can save them. Understand? But in ultimate truth, there is no mark of a self cultivating, no mark of a living being. That's why there is nothing to say. But this is an understanding of ultimate truth, so that you don't attach and cling to the condition. The conditioned world has its conditioned dhamma of law of karma. You have to abide. You cannot think that you are above it. Even you are enlightened, so what? But this is subject to it. That's why beings are to be saved. Law of karma recognized. That's why there is a vow. That's why you can come back. Understand? The condition will have this law. But when you realize enlightenment, there is no mark of a self, then how can there be mark of living being? But you cannot like Chui conclude, I'm willing to take the vow with no being to be saved. What is that? It's subject to karma. That's why I thought you all know we finished Six Patriya Sutta, we finished Diamond Sutta. But you still don't understand. That's why you go and read the Diamond Sutta. Only 32 stanza, very, very short, the Diamond Sutta. But this is the most profound teaching. And the Buddha always tell you, when there is no being to be saved, that's why there is being to be saved. He always used this statement. You go back and read the Diamond Sutta. That's why when I share the Diamond Sutta, I ask you all a few times, are you sure you want this Sutta? And that time, Miss Lee also want to ask now, before we do the Six Patriya. He also want to ask me to share the Six Diamond Sutta. I say, no, I cannot deliver Diamond Sutta in two places simultaneously. Because no point. Because this sutta is very abstract, very difficult. And I started by telling you all what? There is no real teaching in Diamond Sutta. You understand? There is no real teaching. Why? Because he never teach you the essential Dhamma. He never teach you how to cultivate. Like Hui Ning. No talk at all. No, all not there. What did he teach you? He tell you how to develop the highest cultivation to become Samasambuddha. Because Subhati asked the question, the first chapter. He appealed to the Buddha. He said, if normal living beings wants to develop the highest cultivation that brings about the highest understanding and the perfection of wisdom and other things. How should he cultivate? That was the condition for the Diamond Sutta to arise. That's why after that the Buddha started to teach. You should cultivate this way. Means what? You must cultivate following the Diamond Sutta. Diamond Sutta means this profound sutta's teaching, which has got no teaching. He just tells you how to cultivate. You have to cultivate until you have the ability not only to realize no thought, you must also realize no mind. Then you must also realize no dwelling. If you can do this, he says, your cultivation and perfection is completely way beyond the other cultivation. No matter what cultivation you do, this way is the fastest. Well, he gave a lot of example in the other chapter. He said, if any lay person or any cultivator were to understand that four stanza, just now I read to you, each year you wei fa, zu mong huan pao yin, zu lu yi ru tian, ying zuo ru si guan. He said, all conditioned dhamma are like dream state, illusion, bubble and shadow. They are like morning dew and a lightning flash. You have to contemplate them thus. If you can do this, understand this, and share this, he said your merit, that cultivator or that lay person develops, is higher than any monk or any cultivator in this universe, who are able to have the seven treasure of this universe. He got a lot of this treasure of the whole universe, seven treasures. And he was able to make offering to all the Buddhas of the three periods of time, past, present, and future. Even offer to one Sammasambuddha, you know your merit is how much or not? The seven treasure in the universe, not your 7 million or 7 trillion. The seven treasure in the whole universe. And you not only offer to one Sammasambuddha, all the Sammasambuddha on the three periods of time. Your merit is more, or that person who understands the four stanzas and teach it to the world is more. Sure, you are tempted to say the seven treasure one, sure, a lot more. Not only one Sammasambuddha. And you know what the Buddha says? That cultivator's merit who offer the seven treasures to the Sammasambuddha of the three periods of time is nowhere compared to that Diamond Sutta cultivator who understood that teaching and teach it to the world. Cannot compare. You know why? Because that teaching is so penetrative, understand or not? Hui Neng's teaching. And he can create a lot of countless Sammasambuddha. And that merit, I tell you, you can never match it. Because all the other cultivators' merit is what? When they make offering, there is a thought behind. And what is the thought? Out of greed for that merit. Wow, that merit. If I can have that seven treasure, I would offer. You think you offer? You got 7 million, you keep in the bank. Maybe you offer half. You keep the rest. Understand? But let's say there is such a person who got the seven treasure and just offer. Didn't keep any. You think you can do it or not? Like Sakyamuni, when he did the perfection of Dana Parama generosity, you know what was his last test? He was tested by King Sakan. He has to give away his wife and his children. You think easy? Then when he was tested for Kanti, his four limbs was tear apart by that king of Kaliga, or later on become Kondanya. So these are perfection that is beyond the normal people's understanding. That's why the Dhamma Sutta is very profound, but no teaching at all. It only teach you how to cultivate. That's why you cultivate, can develop your cultivation until that level of understanding. Your cultivation, your perfection, your ability to realize Sammasambuddhahood is so different. Because your merit is limitless. Compared to other cultivators, you are so far way ahead. Because even to reach the no thought that Hui Ning taught, the first Oma, is not easy. This world, very few. Very few. But to realize no mark is even more view. And to have the ability to have no dwelling, I tell you, even more rare. That's why it's not easy, this type of teaching. A lot of you may not understand what is being shared. Later on, when you start to develop the understanding, you will get a shock of your life. That this teaching, like what the opening verse says, is very rare, very difficult to come by. It's not what you think. So you count your good blessing. For you to have such good condition, you must have good roots, good paths, good affinity with Triple Gem, and all those great things. Otherwise, you won't be here sitting, listening to all this. Okay? You should thank Chui for the good condition. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, another 20 minutes. Anymore? Make full use of this session, because this is our last session. Tammy always got good questions. You got any questions today? Oh, don't have. Okay. Thursday class. She very active. She always asks good questions. Anybody else wants to? Maybe come out and share something? Or ask some questions. Is there anything that you still need me to explain or share with you? Or you can come out and share what you understand. Why not I phrase the question in another way? Have you benefited from this 3 year, 3 month of six creative platform sutta sharing? Have you benefited? Yes. So come out and share. In what way it has benefited you? You can express it out, means you understand. You have good roots. You use the mic. I can't hear you.
Rachel, are you going to have a revision? Like, for example, Heart Sutra. I mean, that was some years back already. And many of us...
Because it's all recorded. You go and listen to the audio file. And not only recorded, transcribed into a book. And I already told Miss Lee, you don't need any more normal Dhamma. The only Dhamma you all need is beyond the sainthood way. Because the normal Dhamma, the sainthood way, already very complete in the Heart Sutta. No need to go and search any place. It's not only recorded, no. Transcribed somehow. And the Kayamita Fund actually printed this book. And I was so surprised when I logged into the internet. One day I saw my book came out. One monk recommended it. I also don't know who he is. And he never asked us any permission. He just printed out this book. He said, this is a very good book. If you want to know about the Heart Sutta teaching. It just come out there. Oh, no way. I think that monk understands some part of what I share. How can you find a book like that which is so complete? And this is not from an author who write book. It's all from his sharing or his talk. And we just transcribed it out. Of course, we did some editing to make it readable. Understand? And this is not easy. Even the 15 months, we got 40 over to 50 chapters. And they are all so beautiful. So complete. And that time, 2012, Miss Lee just invited me over to share the Heart Sutta. Then that time, you really can never imagine how this thing can happen. But my nature knew. If I tell you all this, you will really laugh. You will think, siao, cannot be. You see, I am English educated. You understand? Yeah. I don't know Mandarin. And you want me to speak the Heart Sutra, which is mostly in Mandarin. And this is a Mahayana temple. And she invited me over because she attended my Tuesday class and Saturday class. Then she has faith confidence there, together with Chris Yap. They invited me, came over for lunch. Saturday also Champaka, you came for a while. Saturday. So what happened was, he invited me over to have lunch. Vegetarian. I said, okay, I came with my wife. Then Chris was there. Then suddenly, Miss D approached me and said, Rekki, we want to invite you here over to share the Heart Sutta. And do you know what happened or not? I didn't know that time. She didn't really have the permission to allow all these things. So because of condition, I can feel the sincerity. I said, okay, shouldn't be a problem. I said, then just let me know when. Then later on, I think, I don't know whether a few weeks later or a month later or so, he had a vegetarian, I think, lunch. It's a lunch. New Year. You invited a lot of people, you remember? Then you get me to sit with your Su Xiong. I got a surprise when I sat down. He straight away asked me, you are Brother Teo. You want to speak the Heart Sutta here? Want to teach the Heart Sutta here? What jhana have you had? He asked me. I am the Ta Su Xiong, he said. I also have the ability to come and teach and all of this. That put me in a dilemma. I never expected all this. I was just invited, and I don't know this person. But luckily this person got his wife, who is, I think, can understand a bit. No, I just answer back sincerely and directly. I got no jhana. No jhana you want to teach? And all this thing. Then luckily the condition was such, After I start to explain a few things, he kept on asking me a few things. Then I explained in a way where normal people cannot understand. Then I think he also cannot understand. So he was like a bit, don't know what, agitated. Then every time he says something, the way I reply makes it very different. Then the wife sends something. The wife sends, until he got to tell the husband, can't you just let Brother Teo share and explain what he wants to explain? You don't just interfere. So luckily after that, he toned down. Then the condition was there. He suddenly asked me one question. Who is your teacher? I think he got more faith. Then when I mentioned about Achayantra, Achan Mahabhava, Achan Cha, the tradition, and even Achan Longpo Thet and all those things. Then Buddha Dasa also. But he also followed the Thai tradition and some Burmese one, I think. Then only he started to become different. Then I don't know what happened after that. He talked to Miss Lee. Then Miss Lee came and told me, okay, ready, right there. He is agreeable. Then everything settled. That's why luckily it didn't turn out the other way around. So if you understand it's meant to be, it will be. Then the other thing, I hope our brother, what is his name? Brother. Brother. Ni pu jie yi ya. No, I want to share something that concerns you initially. I don't know whether you can remember. The first lesson. Can you share? No, not about that. Miss Lee. No, you don't get it wrong. No, what I want to share is something different. No, you listen. You didn't listen. you didn't know what I want to share. After that, when I started my first class, I came in, and you know what happened? The Heart Sutta book, I normally put on the floor. Remember? Now he remembered. Brother Hung, Chitama. He very sincerely come and tell me, you must respect the Sutta. You cannot put it on the floor. I say sorry. Then I put it on the table. At that time, I can't see anything. Understand? But I have to respect people. Because this is their way place. This is their tradition. This is what they have been taught. Their conditioning. So they have to understand. But I was so surprised, after I shared, Brother Hung keep on coming up, non-stop. Then I know, he has the roots, he has the affinity. Then after that, I remember when we were in Cameron Highlands, the retreat. He together with another Kayaramita. The two of them know how to come and request. Say, Brother Teo, remember to take us across when the time comes. Then my nature rejoiced. Two new Kayamistas who doesn't really know what is going on, but they can sense something, and they requested for that. That's a lot of things very strange. Then when we started, it was not easy, because the first lesson, I remember, I think most of them catch no ball. So I remember that time, Miss Lee's first draft, the short notes, I read, I cannot understand what she writes. I cannot understand what she writes. But later on, she improved. What I like is, Miss Lee, it's your turn.
Initially, my intention is not to have notes coming out for everyone, because the first notes that I gave to Brad Teo, because I'm using my mapping. So my mapping is only point. So that one actually, to show Brad Teo, to check whether my understanding is correct.
I expanded on it because I totally cannot understand what she writes. Very good, because one thing I like about her is she allowed me to recall what I share through one or two of the keywords. Once she mentioned the keyword, then I can recall what I share. Otherwise, I cannot remember. Then when I expanded on it, she started to understand. Then a lot of things, like repeated, and initially I remember, there are some who asked me, why do we have to keep on repeating the Shenhua, he initially got a lot of this, what they call translator thing and all those things, remember? Then also about his biography and all those things. And a lot of these things is like to them, it's long-winded. They want to go into the Heart Sutta straight away. Then later on, luckily, I explained to her why. Because like Shenhua said, this Heart Sutta is not an easy sutta. Not everybody can teach, not everybody can expound and explain. Whoever can do it, he must have special roots, otherwise he cannot. And after I explained that, then I have to tell them, if I don't go back to the Six Patriarch Sutta and all those things to explain the teaching, because under the Heart Sutta, it talks about the five aggregate of form and mind is empty. You remember? Wu Yun Jie Kong. Form is emptiness, emptiness is form. It's not easy for normal cultivator, especially Theravada. The same way already to them so difficult. And they want to learn the Heart Sutta. perfection of wisdom, Prajnaparamita Sutta, where it like contradicts itself. Understand now? The later part of the Heart Sutta said, in true emptiness, there is no Four Noble Truths also. No suffering, cause of suffering, end of suffering, cessation of suffering, and the path that leads to suffering. No one born, no one die, no one sick, no one old. I tell you, you will be hammered by the Theravada guy. You say, the Buddha teach Four Noble Truths, you say, no Four Noble Truths. Then how can form be emptiness, emptiness be form? So all these are so contradictory and not easy to be understood. That's why I have to go back. Then I started with the Hui Ning, the two poems. Otherwise you cannot understand. Then how to see form, the unreality of form. Then how to see beyond form. Then after that only you can see mind. Because form is very gross. Easy to see, all this form. Mind is subtle, consciousness. You can't see, not tangible. Then you have to understand mind, the two types of mind. One is the dependent originating mind, mundane mind, condition, rising mind, following dwelling, dependent originating. That's how I have to teach the dwelling and all those things. Then I have to go back to the Four Noble Truths, the three turning, all those things. Otherwise, you all cannot follow. So because of that, the teaching need to be formatted in that way. And for me, I don't read that one. I cannot read that one. I cannot prepare my lesson on one. Because it's straight from the nature. I don't use memory. And because of that, later on, after Miss Lee and they all went through, I think chapter 30 or so already. And you know what they tell me? April Tio can compile into a book more. Your short note is so good. You remember? That's when we started to get people to help. How many people do certain chapter? Who do certain chapter? Then send it for me for final proofreading and all those things. And I tell you that time, every week one class, one lesson. Do you know the draft that Miss Lee sent to me? It took me so much time to go through it. Because she can't understand and follow most of the things. And I need to actually slowly edit it and put it into note form. But it so happened that nature wanted to come out. Just like Eckhart Tolle said, the power now, the book want to come out. Then I realized, how can everything fall into place? Then later on, not only in the book, it's a complete book with all the teaching there. That's why later on I told Miss Lee, no need to take notes already. And now already, inside here, you can understand this, you will become arahant. Sainthood way is no problem. It's more than enough. That's why you realize that the whole of the platform sutta, we did take notes. Do you realize that? We only do transcripts. Certain good ones we do transcripts. And people volunteer to do transcripts. I didn't do. I didn't even want to do anything. My nature, no, it will not interfere. Condition will unfold itself. So a lot of things that happen, you all don't know. You don't know the condition behind. And all this condition behind, only cultivator can understand. That's why when there is condition to share all this, when I relate to you, you go back and reflect and contemplate. It's impossible. Like PG, he banana one, English educated like me one, and his Mandarin completely out one. And he got so interested, and she learned with such what they call sincerity and faith. And she progressed a lot. She understand a lot. Then even Elsie, Alicia, and many other people, they progress. And this nature has a lot of joy when people can understand and develop the training or the ability to progress along the path of Dhamma. Then suddenly, the last 2-3 years, the Kayangita force become very different. Then there were conditions for Bodhisattva way to come out. That's why the book also came out, the blue book. So next month onward, we are going to start with this book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, based on the four transcripts of the four talks that I delivered. I just delivered four talks, and surprisingly, it also came out like a complete book for this cultivation. I never prepared, I never want any of this, but it just comes. Then people who did the transcript volunteer. One person volunteered three of the transcript. The other lady, both also, one from Alastair and one from Penang. The other girl volunteered one of the transcripts. So because of that, it became a book, and it just came out so beautifully. And the cover page of the book also came by itself. The Kuan Yin poster and all those things. That's why a lot of things happen without you aware or understand how this actually happened. It's part of your affinity, your condition, and nature's condition. Because this nature was tasked to share this understanding and this truth in the year 2008, when one of the great beings approached my nature to share the true Dhamma. He said in Mandarin, five times repeated, in golden words. At the end of this book, you can go and read this. I related it there. Repeated five times, and every time he speaks, the golden words come out of his mouth. And it's so beautiful, the calligraphy. It's so amazing. That was 2008, 10 years ago. That's how the Bodhisattva way all can come out. It's because of condition. And this teaching is not available at the moment. We have this way of cultivation with the vow and the right view, understanding, and the way you do the Bodhisattva vow is very different, very unique. It's not just the four basic vows, it's way beyond. And there's a lot of understanding behind. And this one can speed up the cultivation because you will not get lost when there is no more sasana. Otherwise, you get lost during non-sasana, and it's very difficult to continue with the progress. So this very unique book is very beautiful. So October, we will share this. And next week, no class. I'm away, I have to go back to Alastair because my nephew is getting married. Okay? Yes. Two weeks, no class. Polian House Dana. So we will start again in October. So October also going to coincide with our gathering of Kayana Mitas, which is on the 19th. Okay, very good. What did Miss Lee want Brother to do? I leave it to him. Yeah, he is very good. He keeps quiet at the back. Last time he takes a lot of notes. Yeah, right, brother.
Sorry, brother. I think time's up. 6 o'clock already. Actually, I have been in this Buddhist Dhamma study for a long time, 34 years.
Yes.
I dwell very deeply in the
Mahayana. Mahayana.
And I have some understanding.
Yes.
So when I first initially told me to come to join your class, I was thinking, who is person? So I was thinking I will join one of two classes.
If I think that he doesn't have Dhamma, I will not join him.
But I think I will share with fellow county. Dorothy's teaching is very good. Okay. After I joined the first class, then I think Dorothy has the Dharma. Okay, so I decided to join as much as I can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I would like to share the horror of our motivators. Buddha's Dharma is not a bit straight from the student.
Correct.
Buddha speaks his Dharma from about his true mind. The Buddha's nature.
Yes.
So, very good. Sutra, if you read the words by itself,
you cannot understand all
it. So, after some time, I told my friends of Marathon Universe.
Yeah.
I was surprised. All the Buddha Dharma talk about the same thing.
Yeah.
They all talk about the same thing.
Yeah.
They talk to, because they form the different, they talk to different disciples.
Yeah.
Depend on their needs.
Correct.
So they speak differently.
Yes.
Man Sutra, Amitabha Sutra,
correct.
Diamond Sutra, all things. But they are same thing.
Correct, same teaching.
They talk about the true form.
Yes.
The true Dhamma nature.
Yeah.
And that is very difficult for people to understand.
Yes.
That's the reason why a lot of people more put out there.
Yeah.
They don't understand.
Yes.
But once you understand them, all the Dhammas are there.
Yes.
So I always told my friend, Bofa Li Bu Kai Si Jian.
Yeah. Bofa Li Bu Kai Si Jian.
So, cultivation is not just in the temple.
Correct. You come to life itself.
You come to the temple to learn.
Yeah.
Go to the life to practice.
Yes.
That's what I can share today.
Thank you. Sadhu. Very good. That's why the real meditation is life itself. You cannot integrate with life. Not the Buddha Dhamma. That's why Buddha Dhamma always have this virtue related to Noble Eightfold Path, related to life. The whole of Noble Eightfold Path is related to life. First path factor, right view. Right view relates to what? The law of nature that governs life and existence. If you don't have this right view, you cannot live life. But this is the secret of life. Nature's law that governs life and existence. So you must have this understanding. That's why you don't need, technically, you don't need ideology, you don't need religion, you don't need rites and ritual, you don't need to believe anything. You only need to understand the truth, which is the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. But this truth points towards nature's law that governs all of existence, means life and existence. Then after that, to interact with the world, to communicate with the world, you need to arise your thought. You need to arise your speech, your communication skill. Then you need to do things, you need to act. That's why there is right thought, right speech, and right action. And now speech alone is limited. It should include communication. Communication means how you communicate with people. Through WhatsApp, through email, through short notes, or whatever. So right communication is an expanded version of right speech during the Buddha's time. Then right action, you have to expand on it, because there is a lot of things that you do in life. Your action that you do towards fellow living beings, towards the community, towards the society, towards the environment. These are all based on your understanding, your mental intention. If you don't have wisdom, mindfulness, awareness, understanding, you cannot do all this. That's why the Noble Eightfold Path factor are very powerful, very beautiful. Then to live life, you need to have right livelihood and right living. You need to have the embodiment of the Dhamma, the Buddha's teaching, the Noble Eightfold Path, to guide you. Then you must arise constantly the right effort, the four right effort to purify your thought. Then you must have mindfulness. Mindfulness is very important. Then mindfulness leading to samadhi. With these two, you can see things as they are, develop the awakening, develop the wisdom and the understanding, so that you can insight into characteristics of nature, so that you can develop the wisdom that free your mind, liberate your mind, so that you are not deluded. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is life itself. All aspects of life, you need them. And without Noble Eightfold Path, you are just an ordinary human being. You have not cultivated the Dhamma according to the Buddha's teaching. Whatever teaching he teaches, if it doesn't bring you back to the Noble Eightfold Path, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And that is very important. So that part confirm what Brother Hun is trying to tell you. The real Dhamma is not apart from life. Then the other part which I remember very clearly is after some time, after the class started, then later on he realized when I explained about energy field, psychic concentration, I remember he came and talked to me one day. He was very happy. He said, Ratio, now I understand why his teacher, the Poyan Tang, every time he heard about the other, what they call, Su Xiong or what, discussing with Poyan about jhana concentration. He said, now he understands why that time the master told him, not important. No need to know. He suddenly had the understanding. That's why he was full of joy. Then he know why he cannot touch psychic and all those things. Because the way to meditation is just awareness, mindfulness, zhen nian. Not all the concentration, the samadhi and all those things. That's why later on, he was full of joy. Then a lot of things happened. A lot of things happened. Even to other Kayana Mita too. It's not easy. That's why I remember one time Song used to tell the other Kayana Mita, don't have to go and look for anything. Anything you don't know, go to the Heart Sutta. Everything is there. That's why a lot of people don't understand. Then even Elsie, I remember she came first lesson only in my house. He told Alicia, no need to search. This type of teaching you cannot find on other places. So direct. That's why those who have that parami, they will know. And you all have the condition. So what we share today is to give you faith. Understand? When you have the faith, you will go all out. And your cultivation will become different. Okay, we better end. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And I'd like to thank everybody for together making this last lesson, lesson 85 of our Six Patriarch Platform Sutra. So after today, we really end. What is it? Anything? I'm not around. Okay, let us rejoice and share merits. Then we will share merits starting with the devas and Dhamma protectors and all the great beings. Akka Satta Chya Bhumata Deva Naga Mahindika Punyang Tan Anumoditwa Chirang Rakkantu Loka Sasana Hitta Vata Chamimi Sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idam me nyatinam hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idam me nyatinam hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idam me nyatinam hotu Sukhita hantunya tayo Imina punya kamina Mami bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yawa nivana patiya Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can pay respect to Triple Gem, then we end.